blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357, stanzas 1 through 4. When Zion, in her low estate, it was brought from bondage by the Lord. In ecstasy, we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1 through 4 of Psalter 357. Scripture reading for this morning, for this morning hour, can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 27 through verse 38. Matthew 9, verses 27 through 38. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, and nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, and the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who art the searcher of the hearts and the trier of the reins, thou knowest that within us dwelleth no good thing, and that we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and that even all the most holy duties, they are so filled with corruption and with sin. And so we come to thy house in this morning. We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention, that thou shouldest look upon us who have departed from thee days without number, and whose heart that is not right with thee. Oh, that thou may look upon us in and through thy only begotten Son. For we have thy testimony, and that he has given himself even unto the death of the cross, that he might pay the price for sin. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us as we are traveling and to that great eternity, and it is not bound upon our heart as it ought to be, for thou knowest how that we live out our life from day to day, and that our back that is unto thee, so much of ourself every moment, and unless that thou will come, not only for the first time, but that thou wilt also come by renewal, then it remains so, and we cannot change it. Lord, we can bring ourselves into that deepest pit, but we are not able to bring ourselves out therefrom. We can bring ourselves into the greatest misery. We can bring ourselves into separation from thee. We can make it so dark in our life, but we cannot give to ourselves one ray of that true light. We can depart from thee, but we cannot bring ourselves back unto thee. Lord, we beseech thee that thou who hast paid that awful price, thou who hast known
what we needed to be delivered from. Thou who knowest the depth of the pit and that we have sunk ourselves into in our deep fall in Adam. Thou who knowest our spiritual death and that we have a heart that is rebellious and that is against thee and that has no desire for thee anymore. O thou who art almighty, thou who art all powerful, thou who art able to speak one word, and it shall become different for the first time in our life, and that we shall be moved in our heart to seek after the true and the living God. O thou who art able also to look upon thy own church that has wandered so far from thee, and who thou hast to correct, and to bring into that land of Babylon, so that they must feel the greatness of their sin. And when they must be far from thee, from thy presence, from thy nearness, from thy communion, so that they no longer hear thy voice, and they must hang their harps upon the willows. Oh, that thou may from thy side come, Lord, both for the first time or by renewal, and that thou may remember thy people in thy mercy this day. Oh, thou givest thy Sabbath day, not once in our life, but thou givest it unto us, week by week, that we may come up again. Because thou knowest what we stand in need of, then it is not a work which can take place once in our life, but it is necessary over and over again. As we are walking over this world that with a heart that is still so full of iniquity and of sin, then we need to be forgiven. And we need to be washed, and we need to be drawn again by renewal. We need to be given our open eyes to see, ears to hear, as we have read out of thy word. And we need to be given hearts to understand. And we from our side are so utterly helpless. But thou art almighty, and thou art all powerful. We beseech it of thee then in this morning hour that thou may look upon each and every one of us when we are strangers of the life of grace and when we have no burden, no spiritual burden that we carry with us through this world, but when we are satisfied with all that is here below. And when we do a revel in all that is of the time, that we do seek out all that is passing away, and within our heart we live out the inclination, the evil, the sinful inclination. O thou who art almighty, thou who art all powerful, and thou whose voice is powerful and full of majesty, thou can speak in this morning hour to the youngest and to the oldest. And thou can speak in the life of the young people, of the children, of the fathers, of the mothers. Thou art able to work with thy spirit. And this we beseech of thee, when from our side it is all forfeited, and when from our side it is so impossible, but when from thy side it is so possible, and when from thy side it is also certain, for thou wilt have a church unto the end of the world. Lord, could it be that they are also among us, and that thou would bring them forth, young and old together, and that they may find the place in their inner chamber, there to weep their heart out before the true and the living God, and with a desire again to return, who have so departed from thee. Lord, we beseech thee, that it may be that which is dwelling already by thy Spirit in the heart of this one or of that one, and that the need of the soul may be experienced within, that thou may also look upon all those who do search for a way, when they are not able to find the way. Lord, it is a way that is so hidden to that people. Oh, that thou may open it unto them. Then it is a way that from our side is so impossible, because we will never bow before thine only begotten Son. And that we will never humble ourselves to seek thee in the way of free and sovereign grace. Oh, it is such a new way. It is such a strange way for our flesh. It is a way that our flesh does rebel and oppose. Oh, that thou may then make us a willing people indeed in the day of thy power, that thou may draw such ones that do find themselves unable, that do find themselves unwilling, that have a desire after the true and the living God. Oh, that thou may open unto them the blessed mysteries of thy gospel, and what thou wilt be unto those who have so sinned against thee, even the chiefest of the sinners, to open the eyes and to give light in the darkness to those who sit in the prison house. Oh, Lord, remember them also when they are despondent, when, oh, it may be that it has been such a long time since they have heard thy voice, such a long time since that they have seen any light. Oh, that they have to say, oh, was it ever now true in my life? Oh, is there anything? Is there the smallest beginning? Oh, was it all a work of me? Lord, could it please thee to still remember them when they may sing out of thy word, when they may read thy word, when they may hear thy word preached, that thou wilt bring them back again to that time that thou hast spoken, to that time that thou hast drawn them out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and that thou may give them a little hope and a little expectation again, and that their heart that may go out unto thee, when for all their transgression and all their sin, and they have to condemn themselves, yet that they may receive a little hope, and because thou never forsakest the work of thine own hands, oh, look on us, and then in mercy. Oh, we have read out of thy word also to pray the Lord of the harvest. Lord, thou knowest that next week we must travel to that meeting wherein some men will come forward to be examined by the curatorium. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee. Oh, seest thou not, Lord, the need of our denomination? Oh, seest thou not the need of the congregations wherein that there is no under shepherd to go before them? Oh, seest thou not the need in the families for the sake of our youth and of our children? Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, could it please thee from heaven to look down upon us in thy mercy and to grant us yet a man who may enter into the theological school. Oh, could thou make it plain to us when we are but men and we must sit there and we must listen and we must make a judgment and we are so ignorant and we are of yesterday and we know nothing. Oh, for the leading of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that thou may so remember us who are so unworthy of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention, Do it, Lord, for the sake of thy own great name. Give us all together a place to beseech thee, for the sake of our congregations and our denomination, that thou may remember us in mercy. Lord, look thou upon all the afflicted and all the sick ones, any that may not be able to gather with us in this morning hour. Wilt thou be with them in the places where they are in this morning? Oh, that thou may grant them a Sabbath day's blessing. Oh, it is not in the fire, and it is not in the storm, but it is in that still small voice, the work, the speaking of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, now we are called. We are called by thee to bring thy word. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may be on our right and on our left hand, and that thou would open it to us, and that thou may give us a little freedom and a little liberty, and that thou may remember us undeservedly, and give, and that through the foolishness of preaching, that this one or that one may be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city grand and fair. We make the following announcements. The consistory meeting has been changed to Thursday, May the 27th. The following persons hope to make confession of faith on Sunday, May the 23rd. Benjamin Nicholas Gulliker, William Adrian Gulliker, Reuben Peter Kreft, Dorina Marie Kreft, Dylan James Outshorn, Alex Albert Vinnie, and Rachel Dawn Outshorn. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 349, 1, 3, and 4.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That was, congregation, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that work? We read teaching, preaching, and healing. That was his ministry. We read the Lord Jesus says that he came not to be ministered unto, but that he came to minister. Do we also have a place in our heart to be ministered unto by him? He came to serve. And teaching, that is to serve the ignorant. Do we need him to serve us? And preaching, that is to serve the need of our soul. Do we have a need in our soul that we need him to serve us in healing? And that is to serve the sick and the weak and those who are wounded. Is there any need that he may also serve us, congregation? Thus we have a picture. We have a picture of that true church of God, whom the Lord Jesus has come to serve. How did he accomplish this? Well, we read of that accomplishment, that he went about all the cities and the villages, not only the large cities, but also the small villages, not only among the rich, not only amongst the honorable in this world, but in a very special way amongst the poor, where often the Lord has his own church. To accomplish this ministry, he has gone into the synagogues. What kind of a place were they? And they were a place where the truth that was hardly anymore. And yet he went there. He went there when the truth was corrupted to make use of those institutions yet. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in his human nature. In his divine nature, then he has no compassion. He is not moved in his divine nature with any of the misery of man in this world. No, then the Lord, he is in his divinity only moved from within himself. But we read here how that the Lord Jesus was a true human being. And so very, very human, then he had pity and he had compassion on whom? Upon the pitiable objects that are in this world. There are so many of them. Those that are afflicted and sick, when we will go into the hospital, those that are diseased, there are so many of them. If we will go places, the third world countries where there is so much poverty, when we will see the homeless, and when we will see those who are abused in this world, there are so many objects of pity. And yet these are not those objects of pity that the Lord Jesus is looking upon here. We read They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What kind of misery did the Lord Jesus see? He saw a spiritual misery. He saw those who had no shepherd, no teacher, no leader. He saw those who had no guide for their poor soul. We do not say he saw those who had no instruction at all, because they did have instruction. There were scribes, there were Pharisees, there were doctors of the law. Yes, yes, they had instruction. But it was not good instruction. Still, he says, though they had the doctors of the law and the Pharisees, yet they did not have those who were truly shepherds. Thus, they have heard something that was deceitful. They have heard something that was misleading for their soul. And then we read the Lord Jesus, he is filled with compassion. Compassion for those who lack that instruction, because there is no greater misery than that a man would have to remain in his ignorance within his misery. And thus the Lord Jesus directs his children, his disciples, to pray. And this we wish to consider in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that we have read to you, Matthew 9, and there are verses 37 and 38. Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So far the words of our text. Christ's direction to pray for laborers in his harvest. First, the likeness of a harvest. Second, the laborers in that harvest. And third, the care for that harvest. Christ's direction to pray for laborers in his harvest. First, the likeness of a harvest. Second, the laborers in that harvest. And third, the care for his harvest. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Why is it, children, that the Lord Jesus begins to speak about a harvest? We have said that the Lord Jesus, he has looked about him, and he was moved with compassion upon the multitudes. That is not for the natural needs, but that was in a very special way for the spiritual needs. And now we see that the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about natural things. He begins to speak about the harvest. He begins to speak about the fields. Maybe you do that too. When you receive house visitation, and the elders, they come, and they would like to speak about the things which are most necessary. And then you are an hindrance. Then you would rather speak about the things of this life. Is that what the Lord Jesus is doing? No, that is not what the Lord Jesus is doing at all. Indeed, he speaks here about the harvest. But the Lord Jesus speaks about that harvest as a likeness. So often, the Lord Jesus has done this, that he uses the natural things that he may speak about, those things which are spiritual. And what is the Lord speaking of? The Lord speaks here about the ingathering. He speaks about the bringing in of His church. He speaks about the gathering in of souls. He speaks about the bringing in of His elect while they are in the time state. And when He will speak about this gathering in, then the Lord Jesus is using the likeness of an harvest. In other places, we can read how that the Lord uses the likeness of the sowing of the seed. And here we read of the likeness of the bringing in now of this harvest. That is not something irrelevant. That is not something that has no significance, no. But the Lord Jesus, He has known of those things of which that He has spoken. Why? Because there is a likeness. There is a likeness between the harvesting of the crops and the gathering in of that true church of God. In the end of the world, we know we can read in the book of Revelations how that the Lord says that great judgment day that is going to be similar to harvesting the fields in this world. Thus, when all men shall be brought before that great judgment seat of God. But the Lord is not speaking about the harvest at the end of the world, but the Lord is speaking about the gathering of His church now. He speaks of the gathering of that church within the time, thus the conversion of men, the conversion of the elect, thus the application of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the drawing of His people out of this world. And when the Holy Spirit shall go out, and when He shall turn men from the darkness of nature, when He will bring them into His marvelous light, when He will open their eyes, oh, then He is speaking about that planting of true saving faith in the hearts of men who are going over this world without God in the world. That harvest, He says, that is truly plenteous. How is it then that the Lord Jesus is likening that ingathering unto the harvest? Wherein do we see this likeness? Well, then we know that in a harvest there is what? There is a young people. There is in a harvest a cutting off. A cutting off. Is that not what needs to take place? When the harvest will be gathered, then before that it can be gathered together, then it needs to be cut off from its root. And so, and the Lord Jesus is speaking about that harvesting of souls. When the Lord will convert a man, then the Lord Jesus says that is just like an harvest. And when you go forth into the fields to cut off that plant, you cut it off from that which is feeding it, when that root is no longer able to suck up the nutrients with which it is growing, and when it has to die, then you say it is hopeless for this plant anymore. Well, when the Lord will gather in His harvest, then it needs also to be cut off for us. And what needs to be cut off? All does not this world need to be cut off for us? Does not a former life need to be cut off for us? Do we not need to be taken off of a broad way and to be placed by the Lord upon a narrow way? what is now going on in the heart of such a cut-off sinner? Or will he not feel then that to live apart from God is death? Or is that not a very different way than he was going before, when he was living off of all that he could find in this world and all the entertainments of this world and all the pleasures of this world, when this was the food for his soul, when he found his happiness there, when he found his fulfillment there, or what is now happening in that cutting off? Is it not that all the nutrients, they are not feeding this anymore? No, then he cannot suck it up anymore from all that is here below. Or then he is not able to enjoy it anymore. Then it is no food for him. Then he is sometimes going, young people, he is going sometimes still with those friends, because he does not dare yet to cut it off from them, but in his heart it is cut off. All then he is laughing along, perhaps, but in his heart he is carrying a burden. All then it still has to come to that moment, and that he also will say no more, and that he is leaving all of this behind. Oh, do you not see the wisdom of the Lord Jesus? And when he has compared that ingathering of his church unto the harvesting of the field. And then there is something else. Oh, there is something more. There is really so much more that we have not time to speak of all these things in this morning. But there is so much more that needs to be cut off in their life, because they need to be cut off from an old way. They need to be cut off from a broken way. They need to be cut off from an old covenant, a broken covenant, which is not able to save their soul. And thus, it will be a trying way. What kind of way? It will be a way that is going through death. It is a way that is a dying way. Is not that the way of the harvest, a way of dying? Is not that the way of the cutting off from former hopes, from former expectations? The harvest truly is plenteous. In that harvest, there is a separation. Or when that is cut off, then there will be a distinguishing. Then there has to come a separation of the wheat from the chaff. What was the purpose of that chaff? Was that chaff necessary? It was so necessary. You cannot have the kernels of the wheat if you do not have all of the chaff also. Thus man is more than soul. Man is also a body, and thus he is physical. Man also has emotion. Man also has an intellect. Man, the whole man, the entire man, he is more than a soul. And yet, what is now the most important part? What does now have all to fall away, though that plant and its leaves and everything that surrounded and was to the nourishment of the kernels of wheat, also necessary? What has now to happen to it? In the end, all of this needs to be distinguished. Needs to be seen that everything that surrounded it, that was not the wheat itself. And now there comes a time that it needs to be separated from that chaff, and everything else is going to fall away, and that which is most precious That is what is going to remain. All man is more than soul. It is necessary that he has a body. It is necessary that he has also his intellect, that he has also his emotional part. But now in that harvesting, the most important part is now that kernel. And the emotions, they are all going to fall away. And the intellect is going to fall away. And the physical part is going to fall away. And what is now left? Then it is the prized part. Then it is the kernel. Is that not what the servants of the Lord are after? Is that not the part that they are seeking? Is that not the part that they are concerned with? That this part may grow, and that this part may one day be separated, may be distinguished from all that is around it, and that that work of the Lord may remain. How does it become evident? It becomes evident in the beating out. It becomes evident in the harvest. It becomes evident in the threshing. And then it will be found that if there is only body, and if there is only mind, and if there is only emotion, that there is no kernel, that there is no wheat, then we lack that most important part. Then we lack everything. We go to our second point, the laborers in the harvest. Truly, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's the chief work. The chief work of the laborers in that vineyard. That is the distinguishing between that wheat and the chaff. That is the work of God's servants here below. Their work, that is, to pluck the brand from the burning. All their work is when a man is lying polluted in his own blood, that he may be given to say unto him, live. No, he does not know who that those elect are. They are hidden. The Lord only knows this. And in that sense, his work is general. In that sense, his work that goes out to every single one of that external church, that flock that is entrusted to his care. But he is laboring, and he is laboring for one purpose. What is that? That is for the conversion of sinners. That is for the opening of the eyes. That is for the quickening of the dead. That is for one purpose, that there may be a separation. That there may be a separation from the old ways to a new way. That there may be a new life that is given from above, then all of that which is old that is going to pass away, and we read all things are going to become new. What a work. That work we read here that is an harvest that is plenteous, truly plenteous. And why does he say plenteous, congregation? Because when we will look over the whole earth, and when we see the multitudes of people, and then we say how many persons in this world, and they are still going without God, without hope in this world. Oh, how many persons in this world are still traveling for their own account.
They are multitudes and multitudes of persons in this world that are bowing before other gods, that are ignorant of the knowledge of the true God and of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not only in countries that are far away, that is not only for the mission fields, but that is also here in our own land. Oh, it is in those places where God's word has been brought. It is in those places that have heard that sound of the gospel and that have rejected that sound and that have turned away, and that have deluded, that have twisted that truth of the Lord so that it is brought in insincerity.
But where else? Oh, the harvest truly is plenteous. Congregation, then we may look for ourselves also here. We may look at our own congregation. We may look upon ourselves. We may look upon our own denomination. And then what must we say? Oh, is not now that harvest so plenteous? How many? And that may come up from week to week, and that may hear that word of God. Oh, how many still go careless over this world? For how many is there not any interest whatsoever? Oh, for how many is it not just a form, just a custom? Oh, we come and we go from that place of the holy. And what shall be the fruit of it in the end of our life? And then there are others, yes. There are others for whom there is concern. There are others who see, who know, who feel that it is the truth, but that are not able to bring it unto their own soul in a saving way. Oh, is that not now the greatest part of us? Oh, when the Holy Supper of the Lord that is administered in our midst, are there then amongst us not so very few? So very few that may be able to testify that the Lord has begun, that the Lord has given unto them that new life, that the Lord has separated them from this world, that the Lord has wrought in them, that the Lord has given that remorse of sin, of transgression, that the Lord has opened their eyes to a new way, that way in His only begotten Son. Must we not say that harvest truly is plenteous among us, among our children, among our grandchildren? But the laborers are few. Oh, where are they? And then there is one here, there is one there in the world. There is one here, there is one there in our own denomination. Then there are so many vacant congregations also among us, those that have no shepherd. And then you have known what it was for many years already. And then we may have that truth of the Lord, and we may have the reading services, and that is good. And the Lord, He is using that also for the building up of His church. But are we not then so often so satisfied? Satisfied with the way that it is and the way that it really ought not to be? Oh, then that field of labor in the world, then that field of labor in our country, that field of labor also in our own denomination that is so very, very large. The harvest that truly is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. And those laborers, they are spread over just a few men. And they are so very many laborers that we are not able to do all of them in a proper way. The laborers are a few. For that reason, then we come together next week, the Lord willing. We come together with a hope, with a desire,
with a cry in our heart that the Lord may remember our denomination. Will you not also bear up with us when we will go, when we will meet next week Wednesday? Or will you not also bow your knees, children, and that it may be also for you in the years to come? No, the Lord does not say that there are insufficient laborers altogether. And then he does not say that there are not those who love to stand upon the pulpit. No, because also in his days there were Pharisees. In his days there were scribes. In his days there were the doctors of the law. In his days there were also those who loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. There are always those who are looking for honor, who are looking for a place that they may have in the world, that they may have within the church. But what does he say? He says the laborers in the harvest, they are few. He says there are so few to do that work of taking forth that precious from the vial. He says that there are so few that distinguish between that true work of God and that work which is false, that there are so few, and that will make that distinction between the shibboleth and the sibboleth, that there are so few that are ready to cut down those stalks when they are growing, to thrash it out and to bring out that true work of the Lord, that there are so few that are ready to deal honestly with the souls of men. So few, why? Because of that fear of man. That there are so few that are ready to have a pity upon the poor in spirit. Congregation, what do we desire? Do we desire also an honest ministry? You say yes. Is that really so? Do we appreciate when a man is honest with our soul? What happens when it places us on the outside? When we have for many years placed ourselves on the inside? Do we still then desire an honest ministry? What happens when it cuts us down? When it cuts us down and it lays us low, when we have been standing so tall, and when we are now laying, as it were, upon the ground and completely cut off from our roots? What happens when it makes us to question whether we have ever received anything in our life? Whether it is, when it makes us to question whether it is truly the work of the Lord or not? Then what is happening in our heart? What happens within us when it condemns us? What happens within us when it testifies against us? What happens within us when it condemns us that we are the guilty one? That it points us out to be the hypocrite? Do we still desire it? Do we then become angry? Separation, harvest, that is a painful thing. And to reap, that requires the cutting down. But our flesh rebels against this. That harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the Lord is making a person so honest with himself, between his own soul and the Lord, that he does not desire to be daubed anymore with an untempered mortar. Then he fears to take the comforts to himself, which maybe do not belong unto himself. Elisha promised a son to the Shunammite. What did she say? Nay, my Lord, do not deceive me.
Oh, do you hear that people always in that way of self-examination? And because they cannot trust their own heart, then they want to hear the truth, even if that truth is against them, that they may know it now, that they may know it today, that they may not find it out when they are standing at the judgment seat of God. Oh, that harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, are there those for whom the fewness of the laborers is a burden? Oh, does the Lord lay it upon your heart for the denomination, for the congregations, for our own children? Let us sing 199, 1, 2, and 4. His saints shall live, and to the king rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, and for him shall endless prayer be made. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 199. Our last thought, the care for this harvest. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There is congregation in this word, a very great comfort for those who are burdened with the fewness of the faithful laborers in the service of the Lord. Why? Where is it? there is a Lord of the harvest. There is a Lord of the harvest. What does that mean? That there is an owner of the harvest. And there is one who is watching over that harvest. That it is his harvest. Who is that? The Lord Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Thus, the welfare of that church of God that can so lay heavily upon the hearts of his people. But they have not to carry it, because there is one who is carrying it, and that is the Lord himself. That is the owner of that vineyard. That is he who has worked through and who has finished the meriting of that salvation. And when he has completely finished it, then we may be certain that he will also complete the application of that salvation. Oh, he has an interest in it. It is for his own honor. It is for his own glory. It is his own decree. It is his own elect. And there certainly will not be an hoof that is left behind of that great multitude that is going to be drawn out after him. Oh, there is an owner. There is a Lord of that harvest. But now that Lord of the harvest, that he is going to use means. Thus, how is it that he is going to accomplish this harvest? It is through the sending out of his servants. This week, if all is well, then we hope to meet together once again for Ascension Day, and that we may consider that the Son of God, he no longer in his own human person will go from city to city and from village to village and from synagogue to synagogue. But no, he is going to depart. And with his human nature, he is going to dwell in heaven at the right hand of his Father. But with his grace, his Godhead, his majesty, with his Spirit, he will be no time absent from his church. Then he is not going to accomplish it on this earth himself, but he is going to do it by the hands of others. And thus, it is before that he is ascending into heaven that he is giving instruction also unto his own people. It is before that he is ascending into heaven that he is sending forth these laborers into his harvest. And now he instructs his disciples to pray for this. You say, why? Does he not know the need? Is he not the Lord of the harvest? Why is it necessary that we should be instructed to pray for this blessing? Well, it is not to inform him, no. No, the Lord of that harvest, he knows all the need of his church. And yet he gives this instruction. Why? He says, oh, that he will yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Thus, he will have his church to bow their knees. He will have them to supplicate unto him for the blessing. Oh, he will hear their voice when he is at the right hand of his Father. Oh, he desires to hear and the supplications for all the needs of his church. Why? That he may be glorified, that he may be experienced to be a prayer-hearing God, a prayer-answering God. But then he is in the first place a prayer-giving God. And that is difficult. Because what does it take to make us pray? When do we pray? Or we do not pray until we are in need. We do not pray until we feel this need. Or then the Lord Jesus, as it were, lays it upon his disciples to press upon them the need that there is, that there are servants going forth into his vineyard, that cry that may go out unto God. We read it in the beginning of the next chapter. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Or he calls them to him and he sends them out. But what does he now do first? First, he will plant a cry. First, he will plant a prayer. First, he will give his people to see the need. First, he will make them to beseech him for the blessing. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. No, that is not the work of man. The Lord Jesus, the Lord says that no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. And how shall they preach except that they be sent? It is not the work of man. It is not the work of a consistory. It is not the work of a curatorium, but it is the work of the Lord. That the Lord may call, that the Lord may send, that the Lord may appoint, that the Lord may qualify, that the Lord may give the gifts for those offices. Those that are not called, they do not do the work of harvesting. Those that are not called, they do not do the work of separating. Why not? Because they can gain nothing by this. Because we do not receive the honor of men when we make such separations. Because we do not receive the honor of men when we have to cut down the work of a man. No, then we do not receive the smiles of a man. And thus, such are going out, whether they say it in undercover or they say it openly. Then it is one message. It is, Jesus loves you. Or, that is, you must accept it and you must believe it. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What does that mean? To send. Actually, the Greek word here, to send forth, that is how it is translated, to send forth. That actually means to cast them out. It actually means to drive them out. So the word that presupposes a certain force of resistance, something that needs to be overcome, something that needs to be overpowered, and they have to be commanded, they need to be thrust forth into that vineyard. Yes, there are always those who are ready to go. I will follow thee wheresoever that thou goest. What did David say? He says, who am I? And what is my life? Or who is my family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law of the king? What did Moses say? He says, I am of a slow speech, and I am of a slow tongue. Oh, there is something, even because the Lord says that he who desires the work, the office of a bishop, desires a good thing. But even when there is something of that desire, there is also something of that backwardness. And why? Because of modesty, because of humility. Who am I? Because of the greatness of the work? Because of the unworthiness? Because of the unfitness for that work? And when that is so, then what a powerful impulse is needed to overcome the resistance of a truly humbled man to that work. Then it is true that the Lord must make a man willing in the day of his power. How many times did the Lord not have to assure Gideon of his calling, of his sending? Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And what did the Lord have to assure Gideon? Oh, he had to say to him, surely, Gideon, surely I will be with you. And so he sent him out. And when he sent out Moses, and he says, I am of a slow tongue, what does the Lord say? Moses, I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. The Lord commands a Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, Lord, I cannot speak, I am just a little child. The Lord says, no, Jeremiah, do not say I am a child, because I will be with thy mouth. And thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I have said unto thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to help thee, saith the Lord. Oh, there is the power. There is the power on his side to thrust out such a man into the vineyard, to say, go. And he goeth to incline the heart, to call, to send, and to give him everything that is necessary to go. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He does not set them to complaining. He sets them to praying. Congregation, prayer, what is that for? That is for need. Present need, future need. Do we feel it? Do we feel anything of this need in the midst of our denomination? We pray for many things. We pray for the rain. We pray for the sunshine. We pray for all the needs of this life. Oh, do we feel something? Do we feel something of the need of our soul? Will be the first time now when we are at our curatorium meeting. Reverend Spons will not be there. Or he will be missed. He will be missed. Why? Because the Lord gives a person experience. Because the Lord gives a person discernment. And when that is not there, oh, then we lack so very, very much. Thus it is a great loss for us in the denomination, though it has been such a very, very great gain for him. But the laborers are many, and the laborers are few in congregation. We are so of ourselves so incompetent for these things. Do you see the decline? Do you see the decline in spirituality? Do you see the decline in the experience in the life of God's children? Do you see the decline in the closeness to the Lord? Do you see the decline in the discernment? Do you see the increase? Do you see the increase in the conformity to this world? Do you see the increase in the ignorance of spiritual things? Is it a burden? Is it a burden for us? Is it a burden for our children? For the youth? For the future of the congregations? That we ask, what now? What now will they grow up under? What now will they be given to hear in their life? Is that a burden? The Lord Jesus had compassion. He had compassion on that multitude when he looked and he saw that there were no shepherds. Do we have compassion upon ourselves and also upon our own children? One comfort, there is a Lord of that vineyard, and he has an interest in that vineyard. Oh, in that seed, which is going to serve him forever and forever. Comfort. He is almighty when we are weak. He is wise when we are ignorant. He is merciful when we are undeserving. And then he does not say to his disciples, thrust out men into the vineyard. He does not say that to them. What does he say? Pray ye. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, may we find a place on our knees for this blessing. Amen. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, give the need to be felt, for it is a great need. And oh, when we together may find a place in our inner chambers before thee, that thou may look upon us who do not deserve it. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to remember us and our dear children. Forgive all that was amiss. Bless thy word. Bring us safely home. For Jesus' sake, amen. 276, stanzas 2 and 3. Thou enthroned above the skies, wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, before the promised time is near. 2 and 3 of 276. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.